Okay, is it on? Yes, okay. Okay.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Okay. Right. When we were singing that song, right, I thought, we'd reached the climax, but we haven't reached the climax, have we? We'll only reach the climax when we meet Jesus. When we meet Jesus, we will meet the climax, and we'll experience what we sang in that song. I just want to draw your attention this morning to a couple of verses out of the scriptures, out of the Bible, out of this book, this good book. And I found right in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10, and it's what the Lord Jesus, right, when he was upon the earth, he taught his disciples how to pray and what to pray for. And he said this, pray therefore like this. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And it means there, hallowed means kept holy, be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Now, at this present moment, at this very moment, right, the will of God is being done in heaven for Jesus. The will of God is being carried out in heaven. But it's not being carried out here on the earth. And that's the verse I want to concentrate on this morning. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. And if we belong to Jesus this morning, it's our privilege and our passion to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth and to expand his kingdom. Right, let's ask ourselves this question this morning, right? What is a kingdom? What is a kingdom? A kingdom is a ruler's sphere of authority. In human terms, this may be a geographical or political unit, such as the kingdom of Judah, or the divided kingdom, or the kingdom of the United Kingdom, the kingdom of America, the kingdom of North Korea. And if you read in the paper, the dictator of North Korea is a young guy called, was it Kim Jong the Third, isn't it, right? He just said that all the men in Korea have got to have the same haircut as he has. They've got to have a short back and sides. They've got to have the same haircut as what he's got if you live in that kingdom. The universe can be seen as God's kingdom under his sovereign authority. As in Psalm 103 and verse 19, it says this, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. And in Psalm 145, verses 11 to 13, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. And in verse 13 it says this, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. And what the psalmist David refers to here, to in the broader sense of the use of the word kingdom in Scripture, God the eternal King, ruling over all from before creation and eternally hereafter. God is King, whether you think that or not. And people outside this morning, perhaps they don't think that God is King, but He is King. Jesus is King. He's King, and He rules. You might not see Him ruling. You might not think He's ruling. You might think the world is in chaos, but He's ruling. And while the New Testament maintains that sense of expectation, it adds the idea that God's kingdom is present. Wherever and whenever people acknowledge Him as King. In Jesus' time, the Jews lived under Roman rule, sustained by a passionate desire for freedom and for the triumph of their God. The Jewish people hoped fervently for fulfillment of the Old Testament promises of an earthly kingdom set up by God. This burning hope was fanned into flames by the appearance of John the Baptist, who, in preaching his gospel of the kingdom, announced that the Messiah was about to appear. The kingdom of heaven is near. And when Jesus began his public ministry, he picked up on John's theme, and this is in Matthew chapter 4 and verses 17 to 23, and Mark chapter 1, verse 15. But Jesus went beyond John to announce that the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28. The kingdom of God has come upon you. And the kingdom of God, right, has come upon you this morning and has come upon me. Each of Jesus' acts of healing reinforced his claim. For the prophets had predicted that the coming king or the coming Messiah would bring peace and healing. And you find, right, those verses in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 and Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. So, right, Jesus has come, right, to bring the kingdom upon those who hear him and those who will receive him. Yet, Jesus did not establish a political kingdom. As the Jews expected, and his early popularity waned. Against the background of rejection, Christ spoke instead both of a present spiritual kingdom that had come near and of a future time when the Son of Man would come with great power and glory. And you have these verses right in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. And Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, and Mark 13 and verse 26. Reflecting this and the Jews' eager expectation, the disciples even asked the resurrected Jesus if he would at this time restore the earthly kingdom to Israel. And Jesus replied that it was not for them to know the times or the dates or the seasons that the Father had set. And we find, right, that those verses in Acts chapter 1 and verses 7 and 6. The physical, glorious kingdom remains an element in God's eternal plan. And we've just been singing about it there. There's one day when we're going to be with Jesus. We're going to be in his kingdom. But in this present age, we, the followers of Jesus, the followers, right, the early disciples, and right down the ages, right, to us who are here today, Christ's followers are commissioned to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, I want you to think this morning, right, about God's present kingdom. God's kingdom now. God's kingdom is now. It's a present kingdom. There's a future kingdom, we've been singing about it, but there's also a present kingdom. In thinking biblically about God's present kingdom, we must remember the basic concept from the Old Testament. A kingdom is not, in essence, a land distinguished by its own language, laws, and customs. A kingdom is the sphere in which a ruler exercises authority over the hearts and lives of his subjects. Right? The guy in North Korea, he exercises authority over his subjects. He just told all his subjects, right, that you've got to have an haircut like him. You've got to have an haircut like them. Right, we've got, right, rulers in this country, right? We've got Mr. David Cameron, we've got the leader, right, the other leader, and they, right, are our rulers. They pass laws. We've got to keep those laws. We've got to be subject to them, right, because like our queen really is only a figurehead, right? And right in America, right, President Obama, he passes, right, laws with other men, but right, he's the one, right? And the people of America are subject to him. He's their ruler. He says what goes. He calls the shots. So we see, right, that a kingdom is a sphere in which a ruler exercises authority over the hearts and lives of his subjects. Thus, God's present kingdom is that sphere in which his authority is acknowledged by men and women who are committed to him and committed to do his will. It says in our verse, right, the verse that, right, I'm thinking of this morning, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the will of God, right, has got to be done in our lives if we belong to Jesus. When we understand that God's present kingdom exists wherever men and women, boys and girls, choose to submit to God's authority, we understand the conditions that Christ laid down for citizenship. Now, this morning, right, this is very important. I want to ask you a question, right? Are you a citizen of God's kingdom? Do you belong to God? Are you in God's kingdom? You're either in God's kingdom or you're outside of God's kingdom. You're either in, right, God's kingdom, or you're in the kingdom of Satan. You're either in the kingdom of light, or you're either in the kingdom of darkness. Jesus said that unless, right, this is what it takes to be in God's kingdom. There's no other way, there's no other entry. Jesus said that unless a man or a woman or a boy or a girl is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot enter. You have no part in this kingdom if you're not born again. If you're not received, right, God's life, God's spirit that comes into you when you're born again, you see that life and you know that God is good, God is great, he's wonderful, like we've been singing this morning. You come to appreciate him, right? You come to see him as he is, right? That's the entry. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to know the King of the universe but through me. There's no other way. A spiritual rebirth through personal faith in Jesus Christ is basic to human acknowledgement of the authority of God, an essential first step in expressing commitment to Him. And given this starting point, the New Testament adds many insights into what it means for the believer to live as a citizen of God's kingdom. Believers have been rescued, right? If you're a believer this morning, you're either this, in one of two categories this morning. You're either a believer or you're an unbeliever. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're either in this kingdom or you're outside this kingdom. And right, for the believer, right, the scriptures says this, believers are being rescued from the realm of darkness. That's the realm of Satan, right? And Satan controls you before you come to Jesus. He controlled me before I came to Jesus. And he controls thousands, millions this morning who have not, right, decided to follow Jesus. But if you're a believer this morning, right, you've been rescued from the realm of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You've been brought out of that kingdom and placed in another kingdom. It's a bit like, you know, the story of Moses when Moses was born, right? The king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, right? He gave an order that all the firstborn males should be put to death. So, right. Moses' mother had an idea, right? She made a wicker basket, right? Like a coracle, and she put him in there, right? And she put him right in the water, right? And the Pharaoh's daughter, the princess of Egypt, came along. She came to bathe in this particular, whatever it was, river. I think it was a river. And right, she found this baby. And right, Moses was drawn out of the water. And that's a picture, right, of believers being drawn out of the kingdom of darkness. Now, this morning, have you been drawn out of that kingdom? Yeah. You've been drawn out, yeah, hallelujah. You've been drawn out. Right, so we've been drawn out of that kingdom. And right, we are sons and daughters of God. And as sons, we inherit the kingdom. And we find the right that we inherit a kingdom. And this is revealed to us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29 and Galatians 4 and verse 7. Under Roman laws, heirs shared in their father's possessions while he still lived, rather than having an interest in them only after he died. All the benefits of living in the realm where God rules are now ours in Jesus. So, right, we don't have to wait, right, until we die, right, to inherit what we were singing about. We, right, inherit, right, the kingdom now and all that the kingdom can give us and all that goes with it. We inherit it now. And right, not only do we inherit it now, but right, if we're obedient to God and if we follow Jesus closely, we can do the exploits that Jesus done. Because he said, right, the works that I do, greater works shall you do. Want to do greater works? Do you want to heal the sick? Do you want to see people come out of wheelchairs? Right, do you want to see people healed? That's the greater works. That's the works of the kingdom. That's the works of the kingdom of God. you know, I forgot where I am. But, yeah, I did, yeah, right. Yeah, I did, yeah, right. Right. All the benefits of living in the realm where God rules are now ours in Christ. I want to speak right about the realm of God's action. Much in the New Testament emphasizes how citizens of God's kingdom respond to the one they acknowledge as king. But there is another implication of Scripture's teaching on God's present kingdom. A person who lives as a citizen of God's kingdom can expect the king to act on his behalf. Obedience places the believer within that sphere where God exercises direct control of the circumstances of life. Thus, Jesus tells his hearers not to be anxious even about the necessities of life, because your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And right, released from concern by our confidence in God, we believers are free to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Our confidence that God sovereignly controls the circumstances of our lives means that even if we suffer harm for doing what is good, we need not be discouraged. And you find that scripture right in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 18. We are at peace, assured that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Jesus taught frequently about the kingdom of God, and he often used parables. In these parables, simple stories and word pictures, he challenged many of his hearers' assumptions about the coming kingdom. Now, I want to finish with this morning. About coming, we've been singing about a coming kingdom, and we've been talking about being in a present kingdom, right? Well, if you want to experience the coming kingdom and all the glories of that coming kingdom and all the wonderful things that God is going to give us when we get there, you've got to experience this present kingdom. You've got to come in to this present kingdom. Don't be left outside. Don't be left outside the kingdom of God. I want to show you something this morning. I don't take this paper, but I'm going to find it here somewhere. Where is it? All right, got it here. I'll show you a photograph of Padma, She's only, there she is. She's an Indian. I haven't read the article. This is about in the worst case, babies are taken at birth and end up being sold for sex. She was raped at the age of 6. She's now 16. This is in India. This is the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness. There are two kingdoms. Two kingdoms, and they are right. The one kingdom is against the other. This is the kingdom of darkness. This is where we've got to increase the kingdom, expand the kingdom of God, this area. And I'm sure, that many Christians in India are doing just that, fighting against that, fighting by what they do, by their prayers, and by whatever they do, their lives, the way they live their lives, they're fighting against that. And many laws have been passed in this country, now at this present moment, laws, They're not God's laws, right? They're the laws, right, of the kingdom of darkness. And we, right, have got to pray, right, and by our lives, by the lives we live and how we pray, we've got to, right, set our minds that we could change those laws. I think, right, as a country, we've gone back. We haven't gone forward, we've gone back. We're going back. But my final challenge to you this morning is this. Are you in the kingdom of God? Are you in the kingdom? I hope you are this morning. I hope you are in the kingdom of God and enjoying the kingdom of God.